It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Sandy Rios with you. We're coming to you live from the Values Voter Summit, and one of the joys of being here is that we meet all kinds of people from all over the world. And this is not just a conservative conference. Most of the people that find their way here are serious followers of Jesus Christ, and they apply their faith through the public domain in various ways. So this is a new friend we just met a few minutes ago. Her name is Virginia Prodan. Virginia has written a book called Saving My Assassin. She is from Romania. She grew up in Romania. And although I just told her this, she doesn't look old enough to have been there during Ceausescu's reign. She tells me she is, and she has this incredible story to tell about that time. So, Virginia, you were an attorney?
Yes.
In Romania?
In communist Romania during the reign of Nicolae Ceausescu, one of the worst dictators that ever existed in Romania.
Was it at that time, you must have been a member of the Communist Party. You must have been a communist then.
Everybody was required to be a communist.
My understanding and comprehension of the communist system during that time was that, and now, if you're not part of the party structure, you can't go to law school. Certainly, you can't get ahead. You can't do anything. You can't go to universities. Mm-hmm. You can't work within the system unless you're actually supporting the government.
You are very correct. In fact, I'm saying that wherever I go and speak, in the communist and socialist system, when you decide your career, you are not the one. In fact, you decide, like in freedom in America, the communist system decides your career. And one of the requirement of to go to law school for the communist was to be a devoted communist person. In fact, later on, I found out that every person in communist and socialist, from the time that you are born to the time that you died, you have a political file. And that political file was kept by the communist system. You never had a chance to say, oh, let me tell you this is wrong or correct or something. So before I was accepted to law school, my communist file had to be approved by the government and had three requirements. One was that my parents were never active towards communist government.
Against it
or to be put mm-hmm. in jail. Mm-hmm. They never express, even in the privacy of home, they never express desire to dethrone communists or criticize communists, because many kids or relatives in communist system, including Romania, will betray the parents and go to communist government and tell them.
Because they're instructed to do that in school. Right?
Exactly.
To tell up to, mm-hmm. Do your parents have a Bible? Do your parents, what do they talk
exactly.
about?
Mm-hmm.
The state really does take over the parents become enemies and the children belong to the state.
Exactly. And the third requirement, the first one, my parents were not jailed for being against communists. They never spoke against communists, including in their private home. And the third one, my parents were not Christians. So I passed the test and then I was allowed to go to law school.
I am more familiar with communist Russia and communist China than I am specifically for Romania, but Romania was part of the Russian bloc. Mm-hmm. So am I correct to visualize not a lot of fashion, not a drab surroundings? Did you guys live in an apartment house? Did you live in apartments like they did in Russia?
We live in houses or apartment that belong to the government. Mm-hmm. Property.
No private ownership.
No private ownership. And the more you are active, like after I accepted Christ and I defended churches and Christians, my life was supervised. I was under house arrest. I was under surveillance. I was arrested every single day because as a lawyer in Romania, I was supposed to be loyal to government and betray the Romanian people. But when God gives you a job and when you find the truth, Jesus Christ, you are free indeed. And you are out of the power of the government. And you know that your rights come from God and not from government. And I had that power. And of course, I support the consequences. And if people read my book, Saving My Assassin, they will understand the power of God. I was able to respond even to the assassin who came to my office as a client, and he pointed a gun towards me.
All right, we're going to come back to that. Okay. Let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to know what happened. You know, I was in the Soviet Union in 1990, and that was when Boris Yeltsin was still running for president. And I did interviews for 2 weeks in Moscow with people, and they were just beginning. You know, it was glasnost, what do they call it, openness. They were all just amazed that you could see as they were talking, speaking from their heart for the first time in their lives publicly. It was like a shock to them. But almost all of them, from KGB agents to ballerinas to medical doctors, they told me that they had heard about God from their grandmothers. I heard that repeatedly. Otherwise, no knowledge of God whatsoever. How did you know about God, and did you know about him?
I did not know about Christ and salvation. I knew from my relatives, not like scripture from the Bible, but I knew they will say there is someone higher than yourself. As a kid walking down the street, I had a very harsh childhood. I was walking down the street early in the morning, and God speaks to us. We just don't pay attention. God knew me, but I didn't know him. But the sun was shining, and the city was quiet. And I write in my book, and I said, I felt the sun like a mother that I never had, that warms me and hugs me. And I really believe there is someone that loves me just the way I am, with red hair and freckles and, you know, white skin and everything. So somewhere, somehow, I knew that there is a God. I just knew that the only God accepted in our communist Romania was the leader, Ceausescu, who forced us he declared God and forced everyone, but I never believed that he was God.
You knew that he wasn't.
Yes.
So, all right, so then bring us then to that time, you're in law school, when you really did learn about Jesus, and you really did give you dedicated your life to him with all of those consequences. How did that happen?
I went to law school, like I said, because God put it in my heart. I didn't know. I thought that it was my desire to find the truth and speak up for the truth. So I went to law school. I studied 4 years in law school in Romania, everything. And I graduated from law school. And every single morning for years, I wake up and I went to work and saying, today is my day when I will find the truth. I will touch it and I will speak up. And after years of enthusiasm, one day I came to my office and I put the briefcase on my secretary's desk and I said, I do not want to be a lawyer anymore. I can't find the truth. She looked up to me and she said, welcome to reality. And she said, those are the clients coming today, and one is in your office waiting for you. So I walked in my office, and I was so disappointed. And inside of me was why I can't find the truth. That was my desire from the time I was six. And when I entered into my office, I realized I knew this client. I have been working with him for a year, and this client gave me a lot of questions, because in a land of helplessness, he was full of hope. land of lack of joy, he was joyful. He had a different attitude. And many times I said to myself, I need to have a talk with this man. He is so wrong in everything he does. Something is wrong with his mind, but I never had time. But that day when inside of me I was, where is the truth? Where I can find the truth? And he was there talking, and I was not listening to any word he said. I stopped for a second. I looked at him, and I pointed to him, and I said, I want to have in my life what you have in your life. He stopped for a second, and I said, yes, I'm serious. I want that peace. I want that joy that you have. And he said, do you go to church? And inside of me, I was thinking, oh, Lord, what is wrong with this man? What has to do finding the truth with going to church? But I was polite, and I said, yes, I go to church Easter and Christmas.
Oh, you
Christmas.
Did? Did you? Yes. To the Orthodox?
To the Orthodox, mm-hmm. like a ritual. Yeah. I never heard the gospel, but I went there. So he said, would you like to go to church? And he gave me the address. So the next Sunday, I took my girls to church. He was there in front of church.
Did you say girls?
Yes, you I had two children.
Okay.
Yeah. So I took my girls to church with me. So we walk inside of the church, and I heard the choir singing, and the choir was singing, Sinner, Come Home. I didn't know what sinner was.
Come home.
Yes.
Come home.
Yes. I knew I was a lawyer. I thought sinner.
Lawyer, come home.
Sinner is somebody else. But I realized that people were very welcome. So the next minute, the pastor came, opened the Bible, and said, Jesus Christ said, I am the truth and the life.
Truth. Which, yes. We have to pause and say, here you are looking for truth.
Exactly.
I want to find the truth. And you hear this verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
And the church was quiet, like every church. Yeah. Can you imagine in a quiet church, someone like me, after heard this, saying, what? And the lady by me put the Bible on my lap and showed it to me, the Bible verse. And I was glued to the pastor. And that day I accepted Christ. I realized that Jesus Christ was the truth that I was looking for. I look at the wrong place in the law books, in the justice system for the truth. And I gave my life. I knew that God called me to him. To be his witness.
Do you know what? I'm going to write the next chapter of your book, because I'm guessing you walked out of that church with a Bible or finding out how to get one,
yes.
And that you devoured that.
Yes.
Am I right about
yes,
that?
Yes, you are.
I figured
it's
I was.
It's in the book. Yes.
And you probably sat on your bed or in your office and couldn't put it down. Yeah.
And with the conviction that yes. my mission, God gave me, appointed me, to defend Christians and human rights cases.
See, all of that came to you in that moment too.
Yes.
That not only are you accepting Christ and changing your life, you found the truth, but now I have a mission to help.
Yes, because
that's amazing.
Yes, because people, church pastors and Christian came to me right after I accepted Christ. They found out that there is a lawyer in Romania who accepted Christ, and they came and they started to ask me for help. And I realized that's the reason why God put on my heart to find the truth, to find him, and to defend those churches.
My guest is Virginia Prodan, and of course her book is called, of course, not of course, but her book is called Saving My Assassin. Things get a lot more complicated for Virginia when she goes back to her office to start helping Christians. I'm sure she knew some of that was coming, but it got a lot more complicated than that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, the next chapter, it gets even more intense and exciting. Saving My Assassin, we'll give you a little clue to that, but we will take a break. This is C.D. Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
This is the back of the book. It says, at just under 5 feet tall, Virginia Prodan was no match for the towering 6'10" gun-wielding assassin the Romanian government sent to her office to kill her. It was not the first time in her life that it had been threatened, nor would it be the last. And the book is called Saving My Assassin, and Virginia is sitting across the desk from me telling her story, which I have not heard. And if you just tuned in, Virginia grew up in Romania. She was an attorney. Her parents were loyal to the party, to the government, to Ceausescu, who was one of the most brutal dictators of the communist bloc. No doubt about that. And so Virginia was an attorney under that system and seeking the truth. And she had a client who came at a very important moment in her life, ended up taking her to church, and when she heard, and the verse that they used was, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And she actually was flabbergasted out loud in church and then went out to read scripture and felt that her calling was to help Christians. But Virginia, you knew that that change in your life was going to come with a price. You probably knew that instinctively, no matter what the details, right?
Yeah, that is true. The pastor, when he gave me the Bible at the time that I accepted, explained to me, but when God puts something in your heart and gives you a mission, he gives you everything, the courage, the knowledge, the wisdom, and even people around you.
You know, Virginia, could I interrupt? I just thought of something. Were Bibles easily accessible in Romania then?
No, we have to share a Bible and pay the price. If the government will come to our place and find the Bible, many times they put people in jail. I defended Christians for having a Bible in their home or for watching in their own private home Jesus movie.
You know, I'm tearing up because I spent not a small portion of my life working to get Bibles into Eastern Europe. And
we are grateful for that.
Yeah, and that was why I was in Russia for 2 weeks. I was working with the Bible League. I used to be their spokesperson, and I traveled with them a lot. And I actually smuggled Bibles in myself many times. And I just am so moved to think.
Yeah. That you did an amazing job.
No, but I mean that you would be sitting here and that, yeah.
We're so going to share what the Lord did in both of our lives.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It is.
All right, so.
But the amazing thing about is that when God gives you the job, he gives you and equips you. Before me, no lawyer in Romania was able to use the laws, because we had laws in Romania that protected freedom of speech and freedom of religion.
You did?
We did, from the capitalist era. But our dictator kept them in our laws to lie to the American people in order to receive the most favored nation status. But when used those laws, they took me in the interrogation room. They slapped me. They terrorized me. They did all kind of things. I was full of blood and everything. And they told me not to use those laws, because those laws were only for the American people to give them the most...
A sham.
Yes.
A sham. Just
yes.
So you could get... Yeah, yeah, we've got these great laws, religious freedom, protections. Yeah, Russia did that too, as
yes.
You well know.
But do not use them. Yeah. But when God gives you an appointment and honors you to work with him for his kingdom, he gives you the power. I look back to them and I said, that's why I am a lawyer, and I will continue. Not only that, but you will find it in my book. I made copies of those laws, and because I was afraid that the judge or the prosecutor will say, we don't have those laws, I made copies. And when I defended my cases and my clients, I gave them those law. And guess what? Voice of America and Free Europe, I didn't know at that time, as I was facing the court, they were behind me taking notes and presented to the world. So for that reason, I won the cases. They were forced to release, my clients. And of course, my life became even worse.
You know, Virginia, the people that I have gotten acquainted with who have laid their life, the ones I've known and read about too, who've laid their lives on the line, and China, and I've told you I have good friends from Romania, Elizabeth and Joseph Tson, who actually I was right with Elizabeth weeping like I'm crying now when she was talking about how they thought they were going to be killed, and they were trying to give away their little girl, trying to find out who could be, because they thought they were imminently, she and Joseph were going to be killed. But all of them have expressed these moments where their knees went a little weak. I mean, they would, you know, they made some really good choices and they stood firm, but there were times. Did you have that? Did you have any, in the midst of all that, after you came to Christ, did you have any second thoughts, or were there moments like in the interrogation room, or when you, especially, I think it's the anticipation of torture or arrest that's worse than the actual thing. I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. I've never had that happen.
What helped me in the interrogation room was to remember God's words and God's promises. I do remember making a list or giving a list or dropping something and calling my friends and saying, if I don't show up at home, would you please take care of my girls? I had that. It was every single day when I said goodbye to my girls. I was thinking it might be the last time. But One thing that I remember for sure, it was during the time that I was under house arrest. It was so hard because I sliced the bread as thin as possible. I give everything to my girls, pretending that I was not hungry and everything. And because I knew that I have microphones in my home, I cry in my pillow because I'm human and I didn't know if I would be alive or not. When they were asleep and I put my pillow over my head, and I cry. But what I remember is that one day I had doubts and I said, Lord, I know everybody left us and we have secret police in front of our home and we cannot go outside and that they have guns and everything, but I feel like even you forgot us. And the reason I remember is because I don't have many moments in my life, but I did that later on in life. When I came to the United States, I realized that night when I said that, it was day in United States of America, and it was the day when President Reagan, with his cabinet, started to call the dictator and make a deal and saying, I will give you the most favored nation status one more year, but you have to let Virginia and her family come to United States of America. God put the most powerful people because you are a child of God. And I'm saying to everyone, do not be afraid of the one that can kill only your body. But do things that the Lord is asking you to do. God changed Romania through me, and I'm saying I was a tool. In Romania now we can have Bibles. Kids can go to school and pray because I was obedient to the Lord. And God does amazing things even when we doubt, like I doubted his power. But I want to acknowledge how powerful he is, and he has a job for each one of us. He said, if my people, you are my people, I am his people, and he will change America by the job that he gave it to me. I know for sure he gave me the job to encourage, to share my story. I'm working with Alliance Defender Freedom now, with Family Research Center, and they are doing amazing job. Each one of us have a job, and we can change America. We, the people.
And we're going to get to that part, too, but let's come back. Let's come back, yes, to your story, because the low point, I'm guessing, was when an assassin came to actually end your life. Tell us about that.
The government, like I said, interrogated, threatened me, took me to their headquarters. I was many times full of blood. You know, they slapped me. All of them, they had guns to impress me. I do remember when I was in the interrogation room in this situation, the Holy Spirit reminded me to pray for them. And as I was in that condition, I looked back to them and I said, I don't like what you're doing, but I want you to know that God loves you and I choose to love you. And they were just those huge men. They were turning their back because they were crying. They didn't know what to do with me. So the government tried everything. They pushed me in a traffic hoping that somebody will kill me. And finally, there is an assignment that I explained that God gave me. And I'm not going to spoil the book, but the assignment was to expose the dictator. that even after...
meaning Ceausescu.
Ceausescu, yes, Ceausescu. So I had that document that proved the assignment the next day in my suit, and I was in the interrogation room, and that was the only day that they did not search me. And I was able to give it to people of the United States, and they were ready, absolutely ready to have a talk with Ceausescu. And so Ceausescu that day, because the Voice of America presented and the whole world knew what Ceausescu was doing, that day when I got to my office, the dictator sent a so-called client. It was very late in the evening, close to closing time, so my secretary told me that he's a big man waiting for me, and she said, I'm going home, it's late, I have to pick up my daughter. So I said, that will be okay. So I invited him in my office, and the minute that he closed the door and I was walking towards my desk, he ordered me to sit by the other chair in front of my office. So I was thinking, he's my client, he's ordering, but I didn't pay attention to that. I stood there, and the minute that I stood there face to face with him, he pulled his coat, he took the gun of the and he pointed to me and he said, I'm here, I'm not a client, I'm here to kill you. And he explained it exactly the way he's going to do it and so forth. And I was fearful. I felt like my whole life rolled in front of me. And as my life rolled in front of me, my eyes pointed to the picture of my girls. And I was thinking, I'm going to die right now. What's going to happen to them? And there were so many emotions in me. And every one of them was so loud. But in all of this, I heard the whisper of God saying, share the gospel with him. And in Romania, because we didn't have the Bible, we learned by heart, memorized Bible verses and the plan of salvation. So it was very easy. So I started, I told him, you are here, you can do whatever you are sent to do. But before you do that, I want to tell you that I don't hate you. God loves you, and I love you. And he loves you, and I started to say the plan of salvation. And just saying Bible verses, I watched this man, 6'10", feet, melting it under God's power. I just realized God's word, it's so powerful. And he was nodding. But as I was watching him and mesmerized by the power of God, I'm a human, I was thinking, when I finish, I'll be dead. He's going to kill me. And I lost the thoughts. So at that moment, I used my own words. But what I noticed, that my words make him come back to hate, desire to kill, and everything. So I got so scared. I said to myself, you better go back to the Bible. So I made the effort
to remember.
Went back to remember. Yeah. And he accepted Christ.
Oh, gosh.
Right there with me. God's power, God's word has power and has reason to send even our worst enemy for a specific reason in his time.
Let me tell you something. One of the men that I got to know, I haven't seen him in years, but I feel... His name, Jonathan, that's not his name, but he was a Bible smuggler in China. And I saw him one year. It's a long story, and I don't want to take your time telling this story. But the next year I went back, he had spent most of it in prison. He had 5 children, and he actually sought me. I'll never forget this. He was working in a diamond mine. That was his punishment. And they were beaten, and they had to stand in the sewage, and I mean the stories. I mean, he's telling me this. He's as close to me as you are, if not closer. He actually opened his handkerchief and showed me some diamonds he had taken from the mine. He was just fresh out of prison. But this one story I want to tell you, They were beating him. And he mm-hmm. said, they're beating me and beating me. And I'm on the bottom and the guy's on the top and he's beating me. And he said, God's spirit came over me. And I said to him, I'm so sorry. He said the man's sweat was just pouring onto him. He said, I am so sorry that you're having to work so hard and that you're having to beat me. I'm praying for you. I am so sorry. And he said the man stopped beating him. He was just speechless. Now, whether he came to Christ, I don't know. But it's the power of God. This is the thing, I think,
it's
Virginia.
It's the love of God that we express under the worst pain and suffering that we have. Let me tell you something. Based on what I experienced, from the bottom of my heart, those words are true. That it's not a higher honor for a Christian than to suffer for Christ. There is no honor.
Well, the
higher honor.
The scripture tells us that,
yes.
You know, that yes. There, for those of you that have paid that kind of a price and those that have given their lives, you know, God, there is this absolutely, the honor is beyond measure. And
yes.
we honor you now.
This is why I love to share what God has done in my life and is doing in my life. Because I was saved, you know, not only from hell, but from hell of communists, to share the power of God, because He is able to do it in everybody's life.
Virginia Pradhan is my guest, and her book is called Saving My Assassin. Let's take a little break here, Virginia. When we come back, I would be really interested to know, because we're going through a hard time here in America, and many of us see a lot of similarities between what's happening now and what we were very familiar with in the European communist bloc. And I would be interested in your perspective on that and things we should watch out for and warnings that you might give. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We're live at the Values Voter Summit. That's why all the noise, all the interesting people. Sandy Rios in the morning back with you. And my guest is Virginia Pradhan, and we've been hearing the incredible story of God calling her to serve Him in the midst of communist Romania under the brutal dictatorship of Ceausescu, which is, you have to look that up if you don't know about that. He was the most brutal, and he was finally brought down. And she had a part in that, which is, she tells that in her book. She just told us about how an assassin came to kill her, told her he was going to kill her, and how she shared Christ with him, and how he, this big guy with a gun who was getting ready to kill her, she's a little person, I can tell you, cute as a button, he's towering over her, and he, first thing you know, he is coming to Christ. And it's an amazing story. But now, Virginia, do you live here in...
Yes, I live in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
I am involved, and I'm an Allied attorney with Alliance Defender of Freedom, and I'm involved with Family Research Center, and I am also involved in politics. I am the representative. I am the State Republican Executive Committee woman for Senate District 16.
Seriously?
Yes, I am.
You really are involved.
Yes, yes.
Well, why?
Because I believe that God told us to be the salt and the light of this world. We are supposed to change the culture, not the culture to change us.
Wait a second. Virginia, a lot of people here, because we have a different past. We are a nation founded on Christian values, Judeo-Christian mm-hmm. values, and it's in our blood to sort of merge, even though we don't live in a church state by any means. It's separate, but we still have it in our blood, the way of Christ. I mean, honesty and our laws reflect Judeo-Christian heritage. But a lot of Christians think it's really icky. Sorry, an American word. It's unseemly for Christians to be involved in the governmental things. Why was that a natural link for you, or is that? Do you think they should be separate? Have you thought about your Christian life should be separate from your involvement?
No, I tell my kids when you go to work, you are witnessing at work by words or without words. That's your mission there. Your family, that's your mission there, whatever you do. I was a troublemaker in Romania, and I believe that I'm a troublemaker because Christ was the one who showed us that in this world we will have trouble, but be joyful because he conquered. In fact, we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. And I believe in order for our kids to be able to pray in school, we should be involved and be, as a parent, part of the PTA, part of the city hall, part of and stay and mold the laws, mold the regulations. And I can tell you how much the Lord is using me in the community of the Republican Party that I am involved, and how much I influence others by our action. We influence others by what we do or what we do not do. Remember, two very important people in our history, in American history, one said, this is a republic if you can keep it, okay? And the other one said, freedom is one generation away, okay?
So based on... That was Ronald Reagan, I'm thinking.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes, my hero.
Yes.
So I believe, yes, we receive a lot from generations before they fought for us, and we receive even now from the military that are fighting for our freedom all over the world and in America and other people. So we should be involved and keep America free.
As you, how long have you been here?
Almost 28 years in November.
Oh, my word. Gosh, you look so young. I honestly, I'm astounded.
That's another miracle from God. After everything that I went through, in Romania, and rebuilding your life in America. But God, it's a God who refreshes.
I know. Yes, and your face is just beautiful. And honestly, I would never have guessed that. So you've been here a long time, and that's better yet for the question, because as you watch things develop politically in the landscape, I mean, I could spell this out, but I really am curious to know what things you see that you think you should give warning on. What are there some similarities with the things that you see being put in place right now with the way Romania was when you were growing up?
Yes. One thing that is very important, and I speak with all the pastors, is the fear that our pastors have. They don't speak up on the political or social issues. The fear that people have. We are more concerned with the political correctness that to be godly correct. We have more and more fear, and I'm not saying about everybody, but lots of people develop and they are more fearful of government than they express fear of God.
Yeah.
And it's time for us to come back to God, because he is the one who has the solutions. And also people have more desire, more to accomplish their own desires than to accomplish what God has the desire. And let me tell you something. Our desires, the highest desire that we have for our lives, is so small compared with God's desire for our lives. Remember, my desire was to find the truth and speak up for the truth. God's desire was to change a country and to influence United States and other countries through my book, through everything that I speak. God is so amazing. And I want everybody who here to put their desire at the cross and say, God, what is your desire for me, for my country, and use me for your glory. Their lives will be changed forever, and America will be saved, because we need to save America. It is our time to stand up as Christians and to save America this year.
Because you came up in Romanian public, communist schools, you've watched now. You had your girl. I don't know, how old were your girls when they came?
9 and 10.
Okay, so they were in American public schools, and you've watched, I'm sure, what's happening just in that alone. How would you compare, honestly, the control of content, the control of thought, the lack of being able to, express yourself? That sounds so much to me like schooling under communist regimes, doesn't it?
One thing that I can say about the changes, I will take my own example. Parents have to be very influenced to have the power and go and influence the school where their children will be. My kids came here in November without knowing any English, and by May next year, they were enrolled in honors classes. What you can see in your kids and what you can go and do at school and say, yes, that's what we can do. And also the fear that the parents have not to be involved and say, no, this is not for our kids. This is not what. There is power in us. Our voice is important, but we have to express that power. Be part of your children's education. Mm-hmm. It's important to provide, but money and even provision for them to be at school or a private school, it's not enough. Make sure that you know what is in their book, what the school wants to and have a meeting with other parents at your home and write to your congressman and senator, to your president even. We are in America. We still believe that our voice is important. Let's act on that.
You know, my son is 34, so he's not a baby. But I remember when he was young, I was very involved. I would, be the mother that would go on field trips and all that stuff. I loved doing that. I loved to, and I'd show up at school and just help if I could. But I remember when that changed. I remember when he was in high school, they started teaching the kids that the parents, maybe you don't want to mention that we're talking about this at school, and maybe, just it began kind of like that. And I also remember going, he had forgotten something, and I went to high school I was going to take it to him. I just walked into the school, and I was going to, and you would have thought World War II had broken out. I said, my son is, I'm a parent. My son is in a sophomore. He's over here in this classroom. I have to tell him something. It's very important. And I had to fight to get him because they knew I was a parent. But they this barrier started. Mm-hmm. So that's new for America. Parents used to be very involved, mm-hmm. and parents were an extension of the education of their children.
But I agree with you, but also I will give example of my own kids that they came, 28 years ago. They didn't know one word in English. They went a second year to honors classes, and they graduated. The first daughter graduated from SMU like me in Dallas, the second one from Harvard Law School, and my son from United States Air Force Academy.
Oh, my goodness.
And all of them are walking with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they are very involved in their school and their political and everything. School was important, and I went and checked on, but I also had a school of thoughts at home.
Of course.
And also what we are doing, it's important. Not what we are saying, but our life, it's a treasure for them. So it's important for you to be involved in your community, to be involved in school, and show your kids how they're supposed to do or what is important to you. Let me give you one example. When I was just a resident of the United States, I was not a citizen. We had in Romania the first free election. Ceausescu was there. The freedom was established. And I drove from Dallas, Texas to Washington, D.C. with my kids. I asked a friend to give me their van, and I voted with my kids in Washington, D.C., and they never forgot that. Yeah. I wanted my kids to know that wherever you live, it's important to be part of and make a contribution with your vote and everything. It was not a sacrifice, to drive, but it was important to me. So teach your kids. I took my kids every single year. I pretended that I forgot to vote, and on the way from school, I took him with me to vote because I wanted them to know that voting is a privilege. It's an honor. Teach them, do them whatever it takes. Take them take them to Hawaii. You can see, the monument there. But take them to every monument that we have here so they can learn the history of America. They can be proud of America. There are so many things that you can do for your kids when they are at home. And when they leave and they are in college, they will know who they are, what this country is for, and what they are responsible for.
That was a great admonition, and I want to wrap up just asking you this. You're an American citizen, 28 years here, with a whole lifetime of stories in your home country, your country of birth. We're in the middle of a mess. and you're talking to thousands, if not millions, of Americans right now. What would you say to them about this upcoming election, about what you see in America? What warnings and what admonitions can you give to American citizens?
I say to all the people in America, that's the most important election of our lives, that there is no reason for you not to go and vote. There is no reason for you not to go and vote for president, not to avoid voting for president and voting for rest. And I am saying this election, like never in American history, we have to choose between going capitalist for freedom, for free market, for religious rights, or going socialist. And all the benefits, so-called benefits, that the liberals are giving or saying they are giving Americans, they're nothing but the Trojan horse of the socialists. And if you don't have the power, the courage, the desire to go and vote for yourself, please go and vote for your kids and your grandkids. Vote for freedom for America. Vote for Donald Trump, because he stands for freedom. He stands for America as a sovereign country, and he stands for religious rights. And I want you later on to look in your children's eyes, in your grandchildren's eyes. They will ask you one day, why did you vote this way or not? And I want you to read the story of my uncle Carol, who was fearful and he did not vote on election like this one in America, and his life was changed forever. He could not look in his own eyes. That for your sake, for the country's sake, go and vote for freedom in America. Vote for Donald Trump. You might be upset, maybe he was not your first choice, but your first choice is not Hillary or Donald Trump. Your first choice is, we go capitalist or we go socialist. And I know you want to vote for capitalist. So vote for Donald Trump. Vote for freedom. Vote for your kids and your grandkids. Vote for your soul, that one day you will look in the mirror and you will be able to live with yourself. May God bless you for that.
All right, well, the book is called, I Didn't Expect That, Virginia. That's funny, because we started talking about your personal life and your coming to Christ, and I had no idea you were politically active. It's very interesting that you would be talking about that at the end. So I think that's a good admonition, and I think people are, I know they're listening. The book is called Saving My Assassin. How can they get it?
They can go to my website, www.virginiaprodanabooks.com. They can go to Amazon. They could go to Barnes & Noble's, to any Christian stores, and then they can buy it.
All right, let me make it simple. We'll do virginiaprodanabooks.com. We'll put that on our Facebook page. And the book is called, again, Saving My Assassin. Do you know what's happened to him? Did you ever, did he keep in touch with you after that?
Yes, that's the highest miracle of God that you'll find in this book. I can't tell you. God is a God of redemption. God is a God of miracle. And God is a God of a purpose beyond your imagination of your life, and even the life of your kingdom.
With that, we'll say goodbye to you, Virginia. Thank you so much. And God bless you. And thank you. Just thank you in every way.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.